now my pleasure to introduce Anna Bentuniak. She's going to talk about sexual behavior, HIV testing patterns, and STI among LGBT military personnel. Dr. Anna Bentuniak is a research scientist at CHEST at Hunter College, City University of New York. Her research focuses on sexual health and substance use among LGBT populations. Dr. Bentuniak, take it over.
Thank you very much, and thank you everyone for coming and joining us so early. I'm so happy to follow Jonathan's presentation because, and I am manning two sort of slide sets, so hopefully this will work out. I have no disclosures to report. To give you a brief background, and I have to go through this so quickly because I found that as I dove into the data more and more, I became more and more interested, and so I feel like I can talk and write about this a lot. Recently, the health-related behavior survey that was conducted by DOD in 2011 was put out, and basically it surveyed close to 40,000 active members of all five branches of the military. And they focused on Healthy People 2020 objectives. I was about to say 2010 because I was around when they were drafting those. one of the focus area is sexual health. And so overall, the sexual health data shows that about a third of personnel reported new sexual partners in the past 12 months. Close to 15% reported two or more new partners in the past 12 months. About a third reported always using a condom with new partners in the past 12 months, meaning two-thirds did not. So they used condoms inconsistently or not at all. And in terms of prevalence of STIs, it was 1.4% in the last 12 months, and lifetime was 10.8%. Now, what about LGBT health, specifically for military personnel? As I mentioned, the focus areas for this survey were based on Healthy People 2010 objectives, and one of those objectives is to improve the health, safety, and well-being of lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender individuals. And so there are no data about the sexual health of LGBT service members in this 2011 report that was put out by the DOD. And Jonathan just talked about a lot of the barriers to sexual health among LGBT military personnel during Don't Ask, Don't Tell, and specifically around fears preventing service members from discussing openly sexual health concerns, seeking services, etc., and basically turning to non-military-based clinics for sexual health issues. Now, despite some recent advances and even strides at the DOD, there are still barriers to sexual health post Don't Ask, Don't Tell. Stigma-related fears may continue to hinder disclosure of sexual practices to medical professionals, and providers and other health professionals' understanding of the unique history, the needs, and challenges that are faced by the LGBT military community is also key. So as you've heard, and I believe most of you were here when Dr. Parsons and others presented on Serving Proud, we, just to time it with Jonathan's study, we implemented this survey online shortly after your survey. I believe it was either March or May of 2012, and there were several rounds. And we've heard about the procedures, so it's an online survey, and we've heard that our sample, it was sort of similar to Jonathan's in that the majority were white men. Now, in terms of gender and sexual identities, 60% identified as male, 31 as female, and then we've heard earlier that we did have 6% of respondents who identify as transgender. In terms of sexual identity, 87 identified as lesbian or gay, 12 as bisexual, and we had one person identify as straight or heterosexual. In terms of the measures as you're getting a sense, we collected lots of data, and there are lots of variables and scales and measures and so forth. For today, I'm basically providing you with a snapshot of some of the reports around sexual behavior in the last 90 days, HIV testing, and lifetime and recent STI diagnoses. Now, in terms of relationship status, basically about half of our gay men were single and about half were partnered. And I kept partnered separate because that could include civil unions and so forth, and committed relationships versus men who were married, legally married at the time. Let me just go to my little notes page because I actually summarized those. Here we go. Three-quarters of women and two-thirds of transgender service members are in relationships. Nearly a third and a half of men and women, respectively, reported that their partners had served in the military. And in addition, 42% reported sex with partners other than their main partner in the last 90 days. Smaller percentages for women and transgender individuals. In terms of sexual behavior and casual partners, and I'm trying to link this up with sort of the first slide on background on new partners in the military in general, among men, 64% reported two casual male partners, 25% of them reported condom use on all occasions, and 8% reported no anal intercourse with those casual partners. Now, 9 men also reported sex with women. 2 reported condom use during vaginal intercourse. 24 of women of the women in our sample reported one female partner, and 10% reported at least one male partner. 4 of the 15 transgender individuals, and they identified as transgender male service members, they engaged in vaginal sex with women, and one of them reported condom use. Now, in terms of HIV testing, you know, the story is great. Almost all service members had been tested for HIV at least once in their lifetime. Typically, in terms of frequency, they reported that all would test at least once every 12 months. 75% of female, 95% of male, and all 15 transgender service members received their last test within the previous 12 months to the survey. And then as we were sort of getting from Jonathan, similar to his findings, we're seeing that most of our respondents tested at a primary care doctor's office or medical facility within the armed forces. Of course, there are smaller percentages that went out and found other clinics or other ways to get a test, but for the most part, and again, our survey was collected post the repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell, and so that can put in perspective sort of what Jonathan was saying. Now, 50% of the men had requested a test, an HIV test, at a medical facility, and 7 of them were actually denied. And I wanted to pull some qualitative data just to give you a sense of what some of the open-ended responses were about. So basically, folks were informed that they were within the 2-year testing period, so they don't need to do it. If there wasn't an incident they were worried about, they didn't need to do it. If timing or appointments weren't very convenient, they didn't need to do it, and so forth. And so I just wanted to mention some of the reasons men provided when about the time they were denied a test at a military facility. Now, in terms of other STIs, 20% of men reported one STI, and about 17 reported two or more in their lifetime. Fewer women and transgender service members reported lifetime STI diagnoses, and these are some of the commonly reported ones. Now, in conclusion, we could only give you a brief snapshot of sexual behavior and testing practices among LGBT personnel. What we're seeing already that sexual behavior is very complex, and We're seeing instances of risk reduction practices, and so that's also very good news. I think for me and for our team, as we're learning, we're questioning our assumptions about how to conceptualize risk while taking people's lived experiences into account. Careful consideration is necessary in crafting our study designs and surveys to fully capture the diversity among LGBT service members in the U.S. And we've highlighted some of the limitations early around sampling and confidentiality concerns and social desirable responses, but it's particularly of concern when capturing self-report data around sexual behavior, HIV status, and other STIs. Now, in terms of implications, a lot more research is needed given the limited data that are published, and I will look forward to your article. And part of the research will help us to identify gaps in promoting health within the military, and there are some very good programs being developed and being implemented right now, and I just wanted to list them. And in terms of policy implications, the Center for American Progress outlined a few points that are needed in order to eliminate LGBT harassment in the military and to achieve LGBT equality. Eliminate LGBT harassment, direct benefits for veteran same-sex spouses, rectify less than honorable discharges, remove anti-sodomy policies, and push forward the agenda for transgender service members. And as others have done, I'd like to acknowledge the team and OutServe and SLDN. Thank you.